Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
God has just been sweet to His people. I like it when God's sweet to us and not don't have to come with a judgmental message or anything like that, but come with those messages to draw us near to His heart and draw us near to Him. Yeah, the Spirit of God always has something to say. Thank the Lord He does. Thank the Lord He's not like us who at times don't know what to say or don't know how to express our feelings. Are you hungry? Because if you're hungry, there's a promise in God's Word that says, you shall be filled. There's a promise in God's Word that says you're going to be filled. He'll satisfy the deepest longings of your soul. He'll take those things that are messed up inside of you and He'll fix them. If you thirst, what are you thirsting for tonight? What are you thirsting for? We can thirst for a move of God and not thirst for Him. Thank you for the amens, but we can thirst for water. We can thirst for Coca-Cola. We can thirst for a lot of things, but we must thirst for Him. He's the soul saver. He's the soul changer. God is the soul satisfier. We can thirst alcohol. We have that free will, but I would hope and pray that you would thirst the living God. You would thirst Him because He satisfies everything. That peace you're looking for outside of Him is found in Him. Stop going to and fro and looking all about to find that peace that you can only find in Him. That satisfaction you can only find in Him. It's an amazing thing. The Beatles sang a song, I can't get no satisfaction. And yet Jesus comes to this earth and says, I can satisfy you. I can make you complete. That's lacking in you, I can satisfy. You know, in the book of Hosea, it says, whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. But yet we're living in a day where, oh, it's okay if I drink a glass of wine with my meal or I have a six-pack in the fridge. And yet His Word says, whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. See, we don't see the danger in thirsting after the things of this world. We don't see the danger in those things. And I've always been against quote-unquote Christians, sipping saints, as we would call them, because, see, it leads to debauchery. I've always been against it. I never really understood why. And as I begin to grow in the Lord, as I begin to mature in the Lord, I begin to understand why. Because that we're thirsting after. See, we can go to anything and find peace, but God wants us to run to Him. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into Him and they are safe. But what are we seeking after? What are we thirsting for? What are we hungering after? That we're hungering after is to the degree that we're going to be filled. However much we're hungering after Him, if to that degree we shall be filled. If we're only hungering Him a little bit, we're only going to get a little filling. If we're hungering Him a lot, God's going to meet us in great might and great power. But I want you to get away from the filling or the abundance of God's power, or get away from the fact that God has power. He does, but I want you to get to the point of God so filling your life with His peace and with His satisfaction and with the fact that you'll never thirst after this world again when you get Him. I'm not saying you won't have temptations, but whatever you hunger for, don't let it take the place of Him. We've got to hunger for Him. We can want a move of God, but we've got to hunger for Him. We can want to stand for the truth and defend the faith, but we've got to hunger Him. It's all got to come back to hungering Him. We can hunger to search Scripture, and in this Scripture, we can look for keys and points and principles to defend the faith. But we're missing something vital. We're missing Him. And that's when we fall into trouble, is when we begin to miss Him. When we begin not to look to Him, or not to look to the God of the Word, but we look to the Word instead of the God of the Word. See, there's a man in this book called Jesus. A man comes alive, a man stands up. And we've got a hunger after Him. We've got a long after Him. We've got a hunger after that man. Turn with me, please, to the book of Psalms. See, because as the heart panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after for You, O God. See, we've got to have that desire. We've got to have that hunger. Psalm 63. We've got to have that hunger. We've got to have that hunger. We've got to have that hunger, my brother and sister. What? And if we hunger after Him, He's given us a promise. He's going to fill us and satisfy us. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. My soul thirsteth for Thee in a dry and weary land where no water is. How appropriate that scripture is even in today's terms. We look all around us at the world that we live in today. We've got abortions and it is an epidemic. We've got homosexuality on the rampage. There is no water. There is no peace to the wicked, saith my God. But to the man that thirsteth after God, to the man that thirsteth after Him, there's peace. There's peace, but it's only found in the Prince of Peace. It's only found in Him. It's only found in the man called Jesus. I don't know. I just can't get away from Jesus. Y'all just have to excuse me. He is the one that saved me. He is the one that bled and died for me. I just can't get away from Jesus. That's the problem. We get away from Him. We get away from the longings of Him. We get away from the searches of Him. We stop hungering for Him. And when we stop hungering for Him, we find things to replace Him. Well, it might be a man. It might be your son. It might be your daughter. It might be your husband. It might be your wife. It might be your children doing things for your children. Whatever it might be, God wants you to replace that with Him. God wants you to start thirsting after Him again and longing for Him again. Because until you long for Him and thirst for Him, you're not going to be satisfied. You can look. You can go get your latte. You can go get your strawberries and cream. But until you long for Him again, you're not going to be satisfied. And when we get those things, those are just benefits and blessings to having Him. My brother, anything other than Jesus is the benefit and a blessing. We've got to get back to Him. We've got to get back to searching and longing for Him. The peace of God, the grace of God, God's healing is a benefit of having Him. Thank you for the amen. If my dad leaves me an inheritance, it's a benefit of being his son. Same thing in Christ. Christ has given us a lot of things that are benefits, but we've got to have Him. We've got to have Him. We've got to have Him. We've got to long for Him, my brother and sister. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. Why? Because when you seek Him early, you don't have all those distractions to worry about. Things just don't all of a sudden pop up. Your mind isn't cluttered. Your mind isn't wasted the day and the world hasn't gone into it. That's why David said, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. What's your soul thirsting for, my brother and sister? What's it thirsting for? Is it thirsting for that new house, that new car? What's it thirsting for? Come on, ask yourself this. I'm just a messenger. You don't have to get upset with me. I'm just a messenger. You get upset with God's Word. What are you thirsting for? You thirsting for Him? If not, God wants to fix that tonight. Are you longing for Him in a dry and weary place where there is no water? Is your home dry or is it wet with the presence and goodness and greatness of God? Or is it dry? God wants to make your house a habitation for Him, a meeting place where you can meet with Him, where you can have Sunday every day in your home because you long for the Lord. You don't just long for Him on S-U-N day, you S-O-N day. You become His son. You begin to reverence the Son. You begin to long for the Son. The Son of God, the one that bled, the one that died for you, the man Christ Jesus, the one that's going to give you eternal life, the one that's going to satisfy you, the one that's going to cause those rivers that are in you to flow outside of you when you begin to long and thirst for Him. We want to be used of God, but we don't want to bow to God. We want God to use us in the gifts and God, and He will. But you've got to long and you've got to thirst for this God. You've got to thirst for this God. If He never uses you, you've got to have that relationship with Him that it doesn't matter. Thank you for the amen. You've got to have that relationship with Him that no matter what circumstance comes your way, He's all you need. He's all you need. It might look black, it might look dark, but He's all you need. You might be in turmoil, but when you get in the presence of the King, He's all you need. See, it's important that we understand, who does your soul love tonight? Have you found whom your soul loveth? As it says in the book of Solomon, are you searching for that that thing inside you that longs for. There's a lot of things I like, but there's only one thing that satisfies. You know, everybody knows I like motorcycles, but I'm going to tell you something. A motorcycle ain't going to satisfy me. And that's the biggest amen I've had all night. And I knew that was coming, but that's okay. God will satisfy the deepest longings of your heart. God will satisfy those places in you that only He can satisfy. Your husband can't satisfy you. Oh, my brother and sister, your wife can't satisfy you. Only Christ can satisfy you. Only He can satisfy you. It has to be Him, not them and Him. It has to be Him and Him alone. It's got to be Him. No man, no boy, no girl can satisfy you like Jesus. When Jesus came to the well, He said, "Give me to drink." And she gave Him to drink. And she was astounded that even a Jew would talk to the dog at the day of the day. They considered those heathens dogs. And it's an amazing thing that Jesus spoke to her. She was taken back. And He said, "Give me to drink." And she gave Him the drink. And she said, "If you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of the living water that I have, you'll never hunger and you'll never thirst again." And I'm going to tell you something from experience, my brother and sister. You will never thirst again and you will never hunger again for the things of this world. You might have setbacks. You might have problems. But God will so satisfy you. Old things will pass away and all things will become new. Turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. It's God's promise that if we hunger for Him, we can be filled. Filled with His peace. Filled with His wisdom. Filled with His knowledge. Filled with His loving kindness. Filled with His mercy. Filled with His grace. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. But you see, you've got to hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness. You can't hunger and thirst after the things of this world. The Bible says he that has friendship with the world is the enemy of God. You can't have it both ways. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. You've got to have both feet in the kingdom or both feet in the world. There is no middle ground. There is no picket fence. There is no fence to stand on. Christ came and He broke the fence down. You're either for me or you're against me. You're either going to stand with me or you're going to stand against me. Christ is the answer. And it's time that we hunger and thirst after Him. Why? So when we leave our homes, when we leave and go to our workplaces, they see that Christ is the answer. They see that Christ so satisfies us. They see the joy of the Lord on us. Why? Because the King has satisfied the deepest longings of our heart. The King has satisfied us so greatly that we have peace that surpasses all understanding. We're not worried about the coming days ahead. Why? Because the King has come into our hearts. We're not worried about what tomorrow holds because we know who holds tomorrow, because we're longing for the King. We're longing for the man, Jesus. We're not longing for just a move. We're longing for Him to show up in our hearts. We're longing for Him. Him. We can have a move of God, yes. But if we miss Him, take the move. I want Him. Because He, when moves come and go, thank you for the amen. We've seen Azusa Street. We've seen Rodney Howard Broad come. Moves come and go, but God stays the same. God stays the same. You take the move, I'll take Him. And in 10 years from now, we'll see who's in their right mind. We'll see who's got peace. We'll see who's still walking on the King's highway. Why? Because without Him, the Bible said, we can do nothing. Apart from Him, we can do absolutely nothing. It's all wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus. We've got to long for the man. It's all wrapped up, tied up in Him. And I'm sorry if I'm a little bit excited and a little bit passionate about this man called Jesus and have a little bit of longing in my soul to see this man Jesus move through in each and every one of your lives. And you know, I don't want to see the enemy defraud y'all of that God has for y'all. That's why it's important that we long for Jesus. That's important that we long for that's important that we thirst for the living God. And we don't have appetites for the flesh, but we have appetites for the kingdom and his ways of doing things. We put away our prideful self, put it on the back burner, and say, "Lord, what would you have me to do in this situation?" Too many times, especially for us men, we want to just figure it out. We want to solve the problem. We get hasty and just do it instead of waiting on the Lord to speak directly to our hearts. "And those that wait upon the Lord shall be renewed. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Why? Because they're waiting, trusting, waiting on the direction from God. You know, if David hadn't waited on the mulberry bush to shake, they wouldn't have seen the victory that they saw. He was waiting on that sign. He was waiting on, we need to take and learn from, he was waiting on the Lord. He was waiting for that tree to shake. And when that tree shook, he knew that God went before him. And too many times we've tried to go ahead of God. And God wants us to stop for a second, take a step back and let God go before so God can touch the heart, so God can prick the heart. You're not going to save your husband and yourself, my brother and sister. You're not going to save your wife. Jesus is going to save him. And God, in the fullness of time, in God's fullness, in God's timing, people will get saved. But it's not until then. It's not until the heart is pricked, until they see their need for a Savior. They see their lost condition. But see, when we're longing for this man called Jesus, it doesn't matter what's going around. We just want to get into His presence. Because in His presence is fullness of joy. And their pleasures forevermore at His right hand. See, it's in this presence where we're changed. It's in this presence that He begins to cleanse our heart. It's in this presence where we begin to see our need for a Savior. It's in this presence that we see the blackness that's in our heart. We begin to see our judgmental ways. We begin to see our ways that aren't so pleasing and aren't so right before the Lord because we're in His presence. See, when the Holy shows up, we see how unholy we are, and we want to get holy because of the holy presence, not because we're righteous or because we have a holier than thou attitude. But when the holy steps in and the holy comes and shows up to you, you want to live right. You want to walk right. You just want to, everything that's not of God, you want to get rid of. Isn't it an amazing thing when you first get saved? All those bad records that you have, you throw away. Isn't it amazing though, as you walk down this Christian walk, you tend to flip the channels or listen to the oldie station or listen to the country station because now you've walked with Jesus a little bit and now you're comfortable with your walk. And see, there's a danger in having that comfortable and walking in that comfortableness. Why? Because we become complacent. We become satisfied. And it's that satisfied state that we become easily to forget our God. See, the Bible says, beware lest you forget the Lord God that delivered you out of Egypt. It's in that time of blessing. I'm talking from experience, my brother and sister. God blessed me with a home about 9 years ago. And because we forgot the Lord our God, not because He did anything wrong or not because He wasn't faithful, because my wife and I were unfaithful. We had forgotten the Lord our God. And because we forgot, I'm telling you, this word works. Because we forgot the Lord our God, things begin to happen. Things just didn't prosper for us. We made all kinds of money, but didn't seem to have enough money to make ends meet. Why? Because we forgot the Lord and because we didn't pay our tithe. See, it's a dangerous place to get comfortable. I'm saved. The Bible says, examine yourself daily. See if you be in the faith. You've got to do that. I can't do that for you, and you can't do that for me. You've got to do it daily. You've got to see if you die when you die. Not if. There's going to be one day that you are going to die. Thank you for the amen. And see, we've got to be ready. We've got to be willing, and we've got to be ready for this man, Jesus. He could call me home tonight. Could call you home tonight. That's His business, not mine. We wonder sometimes why Christians go home early. We wonder sometimes why Christians get diseases. My brother and sister, it's because they're disobedient to God's Word. Thank you for the amen. I knew that was going to go over like a ton of bricks, but you know what? You know, the Bible says, beware lest there be in you an evil root of bitterness springing up that will defile you. See, it'll defile your temple. See, when you hold bitterness and unforgiveness, you can't hold bitterness and unforgiveness and expect God to answer your prayers. I don't know why I got off on this, but God said to go with it. I got to go with it. You can't expect God to forgive you when you won't forgive those that did you wrong. You've got to leave it at the altar, my brother and sister, and go for, even if they don't forgive you, you've got to forgive them. You've got to release your soul so God can cleanse you. See, it's not a matter of if they forgive me. I'm going to forgive Doug because I want to be right with the King. I want to be right with the Master. I'm going to forgive Heather because I want to be right with Jesus. Not whether she forgives me or not, but because I want to be right with the Master. I can't come to God, Lord, forgive me of the things I did wrong today and not forgive her. Thank you for the amen. Can't do it. The Bible says to leave your gift at the altar and go make it right with your brother and sister. Too many times we want a quick fix. We want to make things right because we're not longing for Him. Because when we're longing for Him, we begin to get in His Word. And His Word begins to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It begins to search our hearts and it begins to cleanse our hearts. And it begins to show us the wickedness of our ways. It begins to show us the evilness. Not that we're so much evil, but the flesh is evil, my brother and sister. We're in a fallen body. We're in a fallen world. And we've got to desire His Word. We've got to walk in His Word so we can walk in the newness of life that God promised us. His Word will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Why do you think the enemy finds us so much not to get into His Word? Because the enemy doesn't want our way lamped. It doesn't want it lighted. It doesn't want the Word of God cleansing us and cleansing our hearts and cleansing our conscience. See, we're clean, the Bible says, through the water of washing by the Word. We're clean through the blood of Jesus, and we can also be clean through the Word. But what are you longing for? Are you longing for that quick fix? Are you longing for that new home on the hill, or you're longing for that new car that you got and now gas prices are going to soar? What are you longing for? What am I longing for? What are we as a church longing for? Are we longing for Him? Or ask yourself that question. It's okay. Because if we're longing for Him, we're going to be filled. If we're hungering for Him, we're going to be filled. We're going to be filled. I want to read this in the Amplified. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Blessed and fortunate and happy and spiritually prosperous. Spiritually prosperous. In that state, I want to go back to that in a minute, in which the born again child of God enjoys His favor and salvation, are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God. For they shall be completely satisfied. Uprightness and right standing with God. That's the most important thing in our Christian walk, is to be right with God. It's not whether we prophesy or whether we lay our hands on the sick and then be healed. It's whether we're right with God or not. Because the gifts and calling of God without repentance, we've seen Jimmy Swaggart come and he fell. And when he was in his deep dark state, the gifts were still operating. Why? Because the gifts and calling of God, they are without repentance. They're going to operate. We see that in the life of Samson, when he laid his head in Delilah's lap, the gifts still operated. The Spirit of the Lord still fell upon him. Why? Because it's a gift. See, that's where ministers have to be careful, because it's a gift and God's going to use that gift. God's going to pour through them to His church. That's why we've got to stay upright and right standing with God. That's why God wants us to be so completely satisfied in Him. Because it doesn't matter what the enemy throws our way, what kind of lure he throws at you, and what kind of bait he throws at me. If we're satisfied in Him, we're not going to take it. We're not going to take it. But we've got to be clean before the Lord. That's the bottom line, my brother and sister. It doesn't matter what your brother to the left or to the right of you think. It only matters what God thinks. It only matters what God says. If God says you're clean, if God says that you've been forgiven, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what your enemies say about you. If God's forgiven you, hallelujah. We can't sit there and say they're not clean when God has cleansed them. We've got to say God has cleansed them. God has forgiven them. We've got to accept them in the body of Christ. What are you longing for tonight? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. I went through a period where about every week I'd get a new motorcycle magazine. They're $2.50 and change. So y'all can do the math, you know, once a week. And I was longing for a motorcycle. I'm going to tell on myself. You know, and hey, in time, I believe I'll have one if the Lord tarries. And if I don't, it's okay. I said, it's okay if I don't. I'm fine with that. Why? Because you know what? I'm God's beginning to change this old boy. God through His grace and mercy, is beginning to change my heart. Beginning to let me see that I've got to be longing for Him and not necessarily to the cares of this world or the cares of this life, but we need to be longing for Him, my brother and sister. There's a lot of things that will distract us, but only He can satisfy the deepest longings of our soul. I could get a motorcycle tomorrow, but guess what? If I'm not satisfied in Him, that newness of that motorcycle is going to wear off. Just like the newness of your new car did. It wore off. Why? Because you're unsatisfied in Him. I know we like to put on our mask and put on our facades, but let's get down to the truth. Let's get down to the root of the problem. We're unsatisfied in Christ. And God wants us to be satisfied in Him. God wants us to be so satisfied in Him that it doesn't matter what comes our way. We're going to stay on the King's highway. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few be there that find it. It's an amazing thing that God wants us to prosper spiritually before we prosper outwardly and financially and all of those things. What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? I don't understand. You know, God wants us blessed, but what's the greater blessing, being right with God or having an abundance of money? Being right with God is the greater blessing than me. Because why? Because your soul is saved. If you died in that instant that you're right with God, you're glory bound. The Bible says how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because they trust in their riches. They don't trust in their God. They trust in their riches to deliver them. And it's so true. You can see in the life of a rich person, they trust in their riches to deliver them. They look to their finances to deliver them. And the only deliverer is God, my brother and sister. When you get in a real tight situation, you need Jesus. You don't need a whole bunch of money. You just need Jesus. And He'll fix everything. He'll fix everything, my brother and sister. We've got to be right with Him. We've got to be right with Him. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 42. I'm going to go back to Psalms, and then we're going to go to Isaiah. God didn't give me much. He just told me to say this, so I'm just going to obey Him. We've got to long for Him, my brother and sister. We've got to long for Him. Hallelujah. What are you longing for? There was a time I longed for a new bass boat, too. I'm telling on myself tonight. It's all right, though. God knows. See, that's the thing. We try to hide it from one another. He already knows anyway. Psalm 42, verse 1. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. What are you thirsty for tonight? We can, you know, there was a time when I first came back to God, we would come to church and afterwards we'd all go out for coffee and we all enjoyed and thirsted for and longed for that fellowship, and it began to wane and it began to move. But God has done something in each and every one of us that has knit us together with a close knit, and we long for each other to do well. We long to be around each other. Why? Because we've passed from death to life. Because we love the brethren. If a man love me, he'll keep my commandments, and they won't be grievous unto him, unto that man, unto that woman. See, you can tell if somebody loves Jesus or not. They don't have a problem with the commandments of God. Thank you for the amen. They don't have a problem with picking up their Bible. They don't have a problem with forgiving one another. They might struggle, but their desire is to do His will. Their desire is to do His work. Their desire is to just let Him flow through them. Their desire is to just do everything that He commands, even if it hurts the flesh. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. What are we longing for tonight? As the hart panted out to the water brook, so my soul panted out to Thee, O God. There's a lot of things in life that you think will satisfy you. And you've come to find out. Maybe you've gotten a new house and a new car. And guess what? It didn't satisfy you like you thought it was. didn't give you that peace like you thought it would. Why? Because only Jesus can be the source of those things. He's the only one that can be the source. He's the only one that can be the source. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost live it on the inside of you. He's the only one that can satisfy you, the deepest longings of your soul. Turn with me, please, to the book of Isaiah. Chapter 55. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come buy and wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation, thou that knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Hallelujah. Why what? May be found. If we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we're going to be filled. We're going to find the Lord. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Call upon him, and he'll say, here am I. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Ain't it amazing? God's thoughts ain't our thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. I'm glad God's ways ain't like our ways. Because if God's ways would have been like my ways, y'all would have strung me up a long time ago, and so would he have. And we would have strung each other up, because our ways are not his ways. We're not as merciful as he is. We're not as long-suffering. We get impatient. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be to that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish. Listen, my brother and sister. See, that's why we've got to long for him, and we've got to long for his word, because his word is going to accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper the thing whereinto I send it. See, God wants to prosper that thing. That word wants it to come alive in our life. He wants, why? Because when that word begins to come alive in us, we're going to have peace in the midst of a storm. I know the outward storm may not have peace, but there can be an inward peace on the inside of you that will cause you to walk through the valley of darkness, that will cause you to walk through the fiery furnace. For you shall go out with joy. Listen, God wants us to walk out of here with joy. God wants us to leave our house with joy and be led forth with peace. Why? Because we have the Prince of Peace, and his name is Jesus. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. See, what are we longing for in this day and age? There's those of us, we long for wives, we got wives. God loved us enough to send us wives, and God loved us enough to give us children, and God loved us enough to give us homes. And we've got to long for the living God. We've got to thirst for the living God. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so my soul longeth for thee, O God. If we draw near to God, he's going to draw near to us, my brother and sister. But we've got to draw nigh to God with a pure heart. My brother and sister, who can ascend into the hill of the Lord but he that has clean hands and a pure heart? It's in this heart state, this pure heart state where we know that we're undeserving of God. We're undeserving of what He's done for us. We're undeserving of everything that He has for us. All the gifts, all the prosperity, all the healing, we're undeserving of it. But thank God that if we draw near to God, who can ascend to the hill of the Lord but he that has clean hands and a pure heart? God will not reject or despise he that has a humble and contrite spirit. See, but it's in that humble and contrite spirit that you don't see a lot of. You see a lot of pomp. You see a lot of ceremony. You see a lot of fakeness if you just want to go ahead and be blunt. But you don't see that humble and that contrite man or that contrite woman that just fears to speak and tremble and speak God's word. Why? What is the difference with a humble and contrite man? God shows mercy whom He chooses to, my brother and sister. If God so chooses not to show mercy to you, He doesn't have to, because He's God. But thank God His mercies are renewed every morning. I thank the Lord that His mercies are renewed every morning. I thank the Lord that His grace is sufficient. We have a everlasting covenant, my brother and sister. God wants us to long for Him like we've never longed for Him in these last days. We've heard there's a time to sow, there's a time to reap, there's a time to seek God, my brother and sister. And that time is now. We got to sow to ourselves in righteousness. We need to reap to ourselves in mercy. We need to break up our fallow ground because it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to put away the earthly things and grab a hold of the eternal things. It's time that we just put away childish things and grab a hold of the things that are going to lead us to eternal life. It's time that we break up our fallow ground because it's high time that we seek the Lord until He come, until He reign righteousness. You might have to shut off the television. You might have to quit looking at that false doctrine and begin to just seek God. I don't know what your situation might be, but God wants you to begin to seek Him. God wants you to begin to long for Him. God wants you to begin to so thirst for Him that there's nothing in this world that's going to satisfy you other than Him, other than Christ, other than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's the satisfier. He's what we should be longing for. We shouldn't be longing for the things of this earth, but we should be longing for Him. We've got to long for Him. We can defend the faith, but we've got to long for Him. We can minister and miss Him. We've got to long for Him. We've got to be right with Him. We've got to be right with Him, my brother and sister. We've got to sow to ourselves in mercy. We've got to break up that unplowed ground, that place that you haven't given God, that place of mire, that place of myrrh that you haven't given God, that you thought that was gone, that you just put on the back shelf, that place that only you and God knows is there, that place of unforgiveness. You've got to give it to God, my brother and sister. I know that you think you're forgiven. I know that you thought you're forgiven, but God has come tonight and He wants you to break up your fallow ground. He wants you to get the well cleaned out so that the wells of salvation can flow, so that river that's on the inside of you can begin to flow like a mighty dam and burst into the lost and damned and dying world, so that you can touch the men and women on your job, so that everywhere you go, whether it's in the Publixes, whether it's in Winn-Dixie's, wherever you go, you can be seen as a redeemed, so that the redeemed of the Lord can say so. It's time that we say so. It's time that we say that we're saved, we're washed in the blood of the Lamb, our sins are forgiven, and we're on our way to heaven. There's nothing wrong with the redeemed saying so. The redeemed have been quiet too long, and it's time that the redeemed of the Lord say so. We have a God that so wants to move in might, so wants to move in power, but we've got to long for Him. In the midst of Him moving, we can't miss Him. We can't stop longing for Him. There's a danger when God begins to move and His holy presence begins to flow and people begin to move and there's a great awakening and there's a great shaking. In the midst of that move, we can stop longing for Him because we think everything's okay because God's moving. God's touching. God's delivering. But it's in that longing. It's in that secret place of the Most High that 1,000 will fall at thy side. It's not in the place of grander. It's not in the place of loudness. It's in the secret place. It's in that place where you and God and you and God alone go. And you and God and you and God alone spend time together. And you walk with God. And God walks on the inside of you. And God begins to change the things inside of you that need changing. And you allow Him. It's in that secret place of the Most High where we begin to get our strength. It's in that secret place where we begin to draw from His presence. It's in that secret place where we learn that it doesn't matter what the gainsayer says. It doesn't matter what the false teachers say. It doesn't matter because we're in that secret place of safety. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into Him and they are safe. Their safety, their security in this man Jesus. But we've got to long for Him. We've got to thirst for Him like we've never thirsted for Him in all of our lives. We've got to thirst and long for the living God like we've never have. These are the last days, my brother and sister. And to those that are thirsty, He's going to pour out water. And to those that hunger and thirst, He's going to fill. But we've got to long for Him. We've got to thirst for Him like we never have in our entire life. We've got to press beyond pressing. We've got to press and keep on pressing. We've got to walk and keep on walking. We've got to seek and keep on seeking. We've got to knock and we've got to keep on knocking until God begins to move, until God begins to show up. We've got to knock, ask. We receive not because we ask not. We ask amiss to consume it upon ourselves. Don't ask in a selfish state. Don't ask in a selfish way. But just ask for God to change those things on the inside of you that only He can change. The things that you don't understand, give it to God. The things that you can't comprehend, give it to God. What are you hungry for? You hungry for the old Buccaneers to win another Super Bowl, or are you hungry for the living God? What's our appetite? What are the cravings that you desire tonight? What craving are you craving right now, right this moment? I hope in the presence of the Holy, I hope it's the living God. I hope this week you begin to long and you begin to crave for the living God like you haven't in a long, long time. Because it's in this place of surety, it's in this place of safety. We want God to give His angels charge over us, but we don't want to go to that secret place. We want God to do all these things, but we want to do nothing for God. We don't want to take up our cross and follow Jesus. We want God to do everything and us to do nothing. How dare we? How dare we? There's an obligation we have to follow this man called Jesus, to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Him daily. A disciple, we all want to be disciples of Christ, is a disciplined one. That means there's areas in our life we're going to have to allow the Lord to help us discipline. Some of us, it may be our tongues. Some of us, it may be our eyes. Others of us, it may be our ears. Whatever it is, God wants you to discipline it. It may just be not being disciplined in the things of the Spirit instead of being disciplined in the things of the flesh. The enemy will do everything he can to distract us from reaching to that that's eternal. He will do everything he can from reaching that secret place. Why? Because in that secret place, there's great safety. It's in that secret place that though the arrow flieth by day, and the arrow flieth by night and at noonday, it's in that secret place where we're safe. It's in that secret place that we're safe. Turn with me, please, to Psalms 91. I've got to go there. I don't want to misquote it. I want to quote it verbatim because it's important that we understand that we get into the secret place. It's in this secret place where God can change us. God can change our hearts. It's in this secret place where we can find comfort. We can find security. We can find a place of refuge. We can let God be a fortress. Hallelujah. It's in this secret place that we begin to let God change us and mold us. Hallelujah. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. the shadow of the Almighty, not the shadow of a church or an organization, but the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. Listen, my brother and sister, gas prices are only going to get worse. It's the last days. God's going to have a covenant with us. He's going to provide for us. Those that live uprightly and walk right wise with God, surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You understand why God wants us to get into His Word? Do you understand why Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? No man can come to the Father but by Him. Why? Because it's in the truth. The Bible says the truth has fallen into the street and no man's laid it to heart. It's truth. We've got to desire truth. But in desiring that truth, we've got to see Him. Because He is the truth. He walked truth. He lived truth. He's our example to truth. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth in noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou only behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord. Listen, there's cause and effect here. There's an obligation that we have to come into that dwell in that secret place. See, there's a duty that we have as Christians to follow on to know the Lord. See, we've got to follow on to know Jesus. There's more to it than just getting saved, reading a few scriptures. We've got to follow Jesus. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee. Listen, neither shall any plague. Listen to me, my brother and sister, especially to those of you that keep saying, well, I have this plague. I have my uncle had this. My father had this. It's in my heritage. My brother and sister, you have a heritage now. How many are born again? Those things were broken at Mount Calvary. The cursed is every man that hangs on a tree, the Scripture says. He bore our sorrows. He was acquainted with our griefs. He took and bore all our curses, my brother and sister. No plague shall come nigh that dwelling. That means when you begin to hear of all these things that the earth is talking about, that means that when AIDS come about, you know, that means the Ebola virus that could get airborne, it's not going to come our way. Why? Because we're dwelling in the secret place. We're dwelling in the secret place. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. Thou shalt bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder and young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot, because he hath set his love upon me. Oh, God can set His love upon you, my brother and sister. Let Him set His love upon you. But you've got to dwell in that secret place. You've got to long for the living God. You've got to thirst for the living God. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him. There it is again. God wants to satisfy us with long life and show him my salvation. And God gave us a salvation when Jesus came upon this earth and died on the tree. That's the salvation that they were talking about, was the Messiah coming. Jesus is the Messiah. He came. He came and was birth in the womb. He grew up as a tender plant. He was came to the age of 30. And he was crucified at the age of 33. He was beaten. He was marred. And he rose again on the third day. I'm telling you, my brother and sister, when we dwell in the secret place, when we long for the living God, it doesn't matter if 1,000 fall of our side. It's not going to come nigh unto us. It doesn't matter what plague, what sickness, what disease is out there. It's not going to come on us. Why? Because we're the righteous. We're right with God. And when we're right with God, it does not matter what befalls us. It doesn't matter what comes our way. The question is, are you right with God? That's the question. Have you forgiven all your enemies that have done you wrong over the years? I mean complete, absolute forgiveness. You've forgiven that man that left you, divorced you, left you heartbroken, heart wrenched. Sir, have you forgiven that mother or that father that wasn't very loving to you? Sir, have you forgiven that father that didn't know how to be a father to you, but now you have a heavenly father who will be the greatest father that you ever had, who will love you, who will put his arms around you? Have you forgiven? See, we can't come to this house of God and come to this altar and have those things not settled in our hearts. Because God will put his finger on it. God will put his finger on it. You might go other places, you might go to other churches, but you cannot be forgiven until you forgive. God is bound by his holy word. Thank you for the amen. God is bound by his holy word. Not one jot, not one tittle is he going to take away. He's bound. Everything in it's going to come to pass. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word, not my word, but his word will abide forever. Let God be true and every man a liar, including this man. See, it's important that we hold the word of God in high esteem. It's important that we dwell in the secret place because there's great blessings. There's great blessings in dwelling in that secret place. We forget what it's like to dwell in the secret place because we've been so headstrong for these many years now, doing the things that we long to do, doing the things that we thought that would be good. And God is calling us back to the secret place. God is calling us back to that place of longing for Him. God is calling us back to that secret place so He can keep us, so His wings of love can overshadow us, so no plague can come nigh our dwelling, though a thousand may fall at our side, though many turn back unto perdition, it's not going to come nigh to you, my brother and sister. But you've got to dwell in this place. You've got to dwell in this place. You've got to sit down in this place. Dwell. He that dwelleth. He that sitteth in the secret place. He that spends time in the presence of God. He that dwelleth. He that sitteth. He that longeth for the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Shall abide. You can go abide under a lot of things. I'll take the Almighty. I'll take the wings of love. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 6 in the Amplified. I'm going to read it again. Blessed and fortunate and happy and spiritually prosperous in that state in which the born again child of God enjoys his favor and salvation are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God, for they shall be completely satisfied. How many times have I heard this over the years? And hey, I've probably said it myself. As a matter of fact, I did say it myself before I got married. If I can just get married. If I can just get married. If I can just get married, I'll be so satisfied. But you know what? I missed a vital point. I missed a vital point. And we miss Him. We miss Him. See, it's all wrapped up in Him. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily is wrapped up in Jesus. And God is calling His people back into Himself. God is a jealous God. We can have no other idols before Him. He is a jealous God. We cannot have anything in the place of Him. There can be nothing in our heart hidden. Everything that we have in our heart that's got in the place of Him, we need to get it out and put Him back in that place. We need to put Him back in the forefront. I'm telling you, when you begin to get right with God, listen to me. Elijah was a man subject to light passions, but he prayed. And when he prayed, the hand of God moved. Why? Because it was right with God. When we get right with God, when we begin to dwell in that secret place, we're all succumbed. We're safe, my brother and sister. We're safe in that place. Why? Because we see our need for our God and we see our need for our Savior. It's in that place of humbleness and it's in that place of meekness where God begins to really work. where God begins to really change us. And it's because we're in that place of meekness, we're in that place of change, then we can come out from that place and declare the greatness, splendor, and glory of our God in boldness, because we've been with the Master. We've been in the secret place. We've heard from heaven. Heaven has touched our hearts. How many times would we have seen the breakthrough if we could have just dwelled in the secret place a little longer? Instead of getting in despair, instead of getting despondent, instead of getting discouraged, how soon we could have seen the breakthrough if we could have dwelled in that secret place. In that secret place, no agitation comes to you. In that secret place, you're not frustrated. In that secret place, God's peace overshadows you. God's got our number, doesn't He? He knows just how to get our attention. It's in that secret place. When I'm in that secret place, I don't want to kill anybody. It's in that secret place. I'm not aggravated as easily. It's in that secret place that I can let loving kindness flow out. It's in that secret place where God begins to move and God begins to take out the heart of stone, take out the stones that are inside the well, and begin to let that well flourish again. Begin to let the heart melt in the presence of God. See, we can have a lot of splendor. We can quote unquote say His glory. But when you've been in the presence of God, you just want to cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." I said it last week. I'm going to say it again this week. We've seen moves and trickles of waves of His glory. And God came to us in splendor. And God gave us holy laughter and thank God for it. But the next move of God, the next wave of His Spirit, we're going to be on our faces crying holy. Why? Because the Holy is going to show up. And we're going to see ourselves undone. We're going to be as Isaiah. We're going to ask God to take the coal and touch it to our lips. "I'm a man of unclean lips and unclean hands. Woe is me," is what we're going to see in the church in the near future. We're going to see, "Woe is me." We're going to see, "Woe is me." Why? Because the Holy. The Bible says that in the Old Testament, the priest couldn't even minister by reason of the glory. They couldn't even preach because of God's glory. They couldn't even minister because of the glory. They were prostrate before the Lord. When you see Jesus for what He is, you fall as a dead man. You don't get this pompous piety attitude. You fall as a dead man and want to cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And it's in this secret place where holiness begins, where we want to live holy, where we want to live right, where men want to love their wife as Christ loved the church, where women want to submit to the husband because he is the head of the house, not because it's a woman do as I say, it's because they want to honor the King. Hallelujah. God wants us to long for Him. God wants us to thirst for Him. Hallelujah. Would you please stand? God wants us to thirst for Him. God wants us to long for Him. If we draw near to Him, He'll draw near to us. You know, it's an amazing thing. God came to us this morning and spoke to us about grace. He has His way of doing things, and it's an amazing thing. He talks to us with such tenderness and such mercy in the morning, and then boom, He hammers it home Sunday night. But you know what? He's God, and He can do it, and I will allow Him to do it. Why? He's not asking us to do anything that we shouldn't already be doing. Thank you for the amen. Heard two amens and the rest are holy murmurs. God's not asking us to do anything that we shouldn't already be doing. But we forget, because we live in this earthen vessel. We live in these cracked pots. So easily we forget where God brought us from. And God has to take us back to the secret place so He can show us where He brought us from and where we're going and what He has planned for us. It's in that secret place where you might find your husband. It's in that secret place. Why? Because when you're in that secret place, you're not looking for any other thing but God. And the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's in that secret place when nothing else has your attention but Him. And it's in that secret place where He begins to move so mightily for you, so wonderfully for you. It's in that secret place where you can call on Him for your daughters, for your sons, for your husbands. Why? Because in that place, you're in that secret place, all selfishness is gone. All selfishness is gone in that secret place, and we become unselfish. And as we begin to pray for others first in that secret place, and pray for our own family's needs last, God begins to move, because we need to pray for the others first. And then God, as we pray for ours, will meet our needs. I've always believed that, and I've always done that. I've always put other people's needs first. Why? Because God is not a man that He should lie. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Whatever you've been sowing this week, you're going to reap it. Whatever you sow coming tomorrow, you're going to reap it by the end of the week. So sow kindness. Get in the secret place. Begin to long for God. Let God begin to change those things that you can't change yourself or about yourself. There are some things that only God can do. There are some things that only God can change. And God wants to change you and me. God wants us to know that He is so near to us than we could ever imagine. He lives on the inside of us. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. God loves you. God's been gracious to us. And God wants us to grow up. And God wants us to abide and dwell in the secret place. Doug, could you just give us some worship? That's all I have. But that's all we need, because it comes from God. When God speaks, it don't have to be that long. I've learned that it doesn't have to be that long. It doesn't have to be 3 hours of preaching. It could be 30 minutes of preaching. But if it's exactly what the Spirit of God has to say, it'll hit the mark. It will hit the mark. Go ahead, brother. Let's worship. Focus on the Lord in this song. If you need prayer, come forward. We'll be more than happy to pray with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. What a coinky dink. Hallelujah. The CD player doesn't want to work right, but that's okay. Worship the Lord. Raise your hands. Begin to worship Him. He's in this place. He deserves our worship. He deserves our worship. Father, we worship You. We adore You. Thou hallowed be Thy name, Father. Thy kingdom come. Oh, Father, we welcome You. Change us like only You can change us, Father. Fit that is lacking, Father God. Father God, meet the need, Father God. Oh, Father. Father God, teach us to dwell in the secret place, Father. Teach us to long for You again, Father. Teach us to long for You, Father God. Oh, Father, teach us to thirst and to long for You, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, we worship You. You're worthy of our praises. Father, we praise You. We adore You. We've come to bow down before You. Father, we thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father. Just worship the Lord. It's okay. Focus on Him. God is in this place. God is touching your very heart. God is bringing you back to Himself. Why? Because He doesn't want you to look to any other source but Him. God wants you for Himself. God wants you for Himself. God wants you for Himself. God wants you to have fellowship with Him. Not just pick up this Bible and look for clues or look for principles. All that will come. But God wants you to see Him. God wants you to see the grace man, as we learned this morning, Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we worship You. We adore You. We bow down before You, Father. Oh,